Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Yes. Hope you got your espresso. Welcome back in. It is 105.1 The Fan, formerly known as The Buzz, but now it's The Fan.
R.I.P. Buzz. Gone but not forgotten.
Contrary to a popular mom's group in Battleground, Washington, we've become the FM sports station.
We are still here, moms in Vancouver, and I'd like to publicly apologize on that.
I call them the MILFs in Battleground. I don't know about you, but I want them as listeners. I don't care that they're angry.
We're big in the MILF Battleground community.
We are?
What?
Sounds like a wish. A lot to get to here in the second hour. We will talk about those Oregon Ducks.
Yes, they got a big game on Friday night.
Look at us, a little Oregon-Indiana colors on the YouTube here.
I knew you were rooting for Indiana over there.
I'm rooting for Forrest today.
You're a Hoosier guy over there.
Oh, yeah.
You're a big Cignetti. You got a Cignetti face tattooed on your butt.
People always think this weird thing because I went to Oregon. They're like, oh, you're always rooting for Ducksburg. You're a favorite Hawk. And I'm like, I largely don't really care if my team isn't playing. In fact, I probably lean I want my co-host to be a little happy because it's good for us to talk about the team.
Sometimes there's better content that's created.
This is one of the rare times where I'm not like on my couch pom-pom waving, but Indiana is the...
It's a great story.
It's a great story.
Look, I want my team to desperately win on Friday night, but even I can acknowledge how insane of a story Indiana playing for a national championship is.
My dream scenario would have been to reverse it. Oregon plays Ole Miss and Oregon plays Miami.
In the semis.
And yeah, because you get the Mario stuff.
Why can't we get Ole Miss? I'd rather play. Can we get Ole Miss first?
Rather play Ole Miss than Miami?
I think I would.
Oh, that quarterback scares me.
He is absolutely terrifying, but it seems like that's kind of a one-trick pony. Mm. But hey, they just beat Georgia, so maybe they go do it again on Thursday night.
So we'll get to that coming up. Bill Conley at 7:30 will get his thoughts on the matchup. We talked with Adam Rittenberg yesterday, so we'll get Conley's thoughts today. I want to start the second hour, though, with a little hardwood.
Little hoops?
Well, the Blazers beat the Jazz, and the Jazz are not very good, so I get it.
Hey, I think three in a row deserves it. You get three in a row, you deserve
five
it.
Five or six deserves it.
Five or six deserves it. It's been a while.
Yeah, on this show it has.
It kind of faded.
You hit 19 threes. You get the song. Most of the wins have come since we went off the air.
Talk about cucumbers. Swag had a big one last night watching Klingon.
Yeah, he did.
He got a little excited. In the swag condo.
Can I tell you who else had a big cucumber for Klingon?
He was feeling good.
My wife.
Whoa. Excuse me?
So before the game, I don't know if you guys turned on the pregame, but they showed Klingon mic'd up, and it was just like a montage of him through like four or five different games, and between yelling weak and strong to help his guys on screens, he's also like making funny commentary. Hey, what's that shoe you wear? I'm 18. Just being a goofball 20-year-old.
And he seems a bit of a goofball.
He seems like he enjoys his life. He's a millionaire athlete, right?
You're born 7 foot, you should enjoy your life.
Well, when you played that long for Dan Hurley, you've heard some stuff on sidelines during the game.
You're a little more free in your life is what
exactly.
I would think.
Right? I got to play for that guy anymore? This is great, dude.
But my wife, I don't even know if she finds him attractive in any way. She more just was like, oh, he seems great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, he's a fun, goofy kid. He's playing good basketball right now, and he's starting to hit the three ball. So
he's a guy to root for.
They end up running away from the Utah Jazz. Jazz have some okay talent. Nurk got off to a nice little hot start. I'm like, oh, revenge game?
No.
Defense not high on their priority list.
No, it's not. They can score, but they cannot defend. They're not a good team, okay? But the point is more to say they won 5 of 6, our Trailblazers.
Yes.
And I was going through some numbers, and stop me if you've heard this. Denny Avdia is having a good year.
What?
No.
Are you sure? Does he have a good contract?
So you're going to have to root for the world team at the All-Star game?
Well, I was
That's a funny question I haven't even thought about yet.
I don't really care about the All-Star game, so I'll root for Denny.
We're doing USA versus the world.
It's going to be so stupid. Nobody's going to watch.
Can we just do East versus West?
Well, I was watching the NBA TV before the Blazer game started, and it was the association show, which goes around the association, and in between they do their studio stuff, and it was Danny Green, Rudy Gay, and our guy Steven Nelson.
Our guy Steven Nelson's on NBA TV
now.
Well,
it's the offseason in baseball. Got to make some do-re-mi.
Pick up another gig, all right.
And they're going through Danny Green's list of something, and you know who the first player he listed was? It was Denny Avdia. And he goes, he's having a great season. He needs to be considered for All-NBA. He's going to be an All-Star. He goes, they're playing great basketball this year. And I went, well, they're 16-20 going in, but okay, I get your point. But he's getting more recognition. I might be blasphemous here, all right? But I was just thinking about this, watching that game and a little this morning. So all his numbers, he's 99th percentile in points per possession. He's 100th percentile in effective field goal percentage. He's 93rd percentile in the turnover percentage, which is a good thing. You want him to be in that category. We know what his impact is. He's a plus 30 win expectancy, right? He's having this stellar season. Is he not doing... God, this is going to feel really weird to say aloud.
Do it. Do it.
Well, they're not having the win-loss results yet.
No.
But is he not doing what we all projected and thought Brandon Roy would be doing?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent.
It's not the same kind of game. It's not different. The same. It's aggressive. It's a go to the cup, get the free throws.
Roy
not,
felt a little more back to the basket.
Not
a little
silky
more,
smoothish as Roy, right, with the handle. But, dude, for everything we thought about Brandon Roy, and I think all those feelings are valid, this dude's delivering in the same way. He's kind of our point forward since we don't really have a point guard right now.
Don't have a point guard.
Driving the boat, dude.
He's getting you triple doubles every night.
Yeah.
I went and looked at Roy's numbers to have a refresher, right? And I love me some Brandon Roy. He's one of my all-time favorites.
And the game's evolved a little bit since then.
What do you think his numbers were on an on-game and an in-game, like per-game basis? Just let's just go to his like third year, 08-09.
What, like points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game?
Just a standard points, rebounds, assists.
23-5-4.
I don't know if he was averaging 20 yet a game.
23-5-4 is dead on.
Is it dead on?
It's you nailed it. Yeah. It's 22.6, 4.7, so you could round to 5 if you want, and five assists.
So 5-5.
What's Denny averaging right now?
What's he, 27-7-7?
Now, I think some of this...
I think it's 8-7.
Yeah. So, to be fair, some of this, I think the numbers, not inflated in a negative way to say
the rebounds and assist numbers are inflated simply
because of the way the game is played now.
The game is played faster, and there's a lot more shots,
100%.
Both made and missed.
And that leads to points per game, too, because you're getting more possessions.
And you're shooting more threes. Roy would have shot more threes the way the game is played now.
But he's just, and I'm not even, look, you can take this and also say, are you saying he's like a solid superstar one, Sprague? Fair rebuttal. I'm not there, but I'm just saying from a number standpoint, he is doing exactly what we thought the natural was going to continue to do had he stay healthy.
Yeah.
And he's the reason that they're even in a 17-20 situation.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, without him this year, this season would have crumbled 2 months ago and they would have been done. I think that also adds to the impressive nature of what he's doing, considering that some of the key guys he was supposed to be playing with are no longer healthy. And, you know, you hope at some point guys are back and at some point they will be. But that makes it even more impressive that he's had kind of a ragtag group of players out there with him, and he's still putting up the numbers, some of the best numbers we've ever seen in the history of the organization, which is just wild. It's a feather in the cap of Joe Cronin, who's had some big hits and some big misses. Easily the best move that he has ever made.
It's not even close. This is the biggest one he can hang his hat on.
I just have gotten to the point where, and this is unfair to him, but I feel like we do this with a lot of great players across different sports, where it's like when it's a expected thing at this point, it almost gets tiring to talk about because it's just I expect him to be good every night. He's been at that level all year. The exciting thing for me in the last couple of games has been, and I think you can go back a little bit further with one of the players, and I know he wasn't very good on the road in San Antonio whenever that was, Friday or Saturday, but Shaden Sharpe in the like 20-ish game stretch that he's now put together and kind of coming into his own and being handed more of a responsibility. He was great last night, especially early in the
game. Spurs game was his dud.
He had an absolute dud against San Antonio, but everybody's going to have duds, right? Even Denny has a game where you're like, hey, that was 9 points. What the hell happened there? So everybody's going to have a down game. But I go back to, like, I saw our buddy Gunderson tweeting last night about him, and I think it's so spot on.
He texted me something interesting about that last night.
Well, just like a guy who has never been put in certain situations early in his career, and that's one of the biggest frustrations I've had with the organization the last couple of years, of here's your top 10 pick, like, let's hand him more responsibility, get Anfernee Simons out of here, let's give those possessions and looks to Shaden Sharpe. And you're seeing a guy that I think at this point in the year is starting to grow in confidence. His three-point percentage has slowly ticked up as the year has gone on. It's not, you know, he's not in a three-point
contest.
He's never
going to be an elite three shooter.
No, but he's getting to the point where there's enough of a sample size to say, okay, could you be passable there? It's not 22% anymore. And so that's a growing trend. And then the other one is, like, Donovan Klingon having multiple games in a row now where he's becoming an impact player on the offensive end. I mentioned this yesterday on the show. Mm-hmm. When they drafted him, one of the selling points that they used in that draft pick, not that it was controversial because that draft sucked, and it was like, yeah, what the hell, take the guy out of UConn, was that they felt like he could develop an offensive game. even though he showed very little of that at UConn. A little back to the basket, dunks here or there. That was it. He never shot. But when they drafted him, they said, we like his touch. We like his ability to shoot. And we think that's something that he could develop into. Mm-hmm. And now here we go again last night, knocking down a couple of threes. And it adds another dynamic to his game where it's not just rebounds and blocking a shot here or there. I can space the floor. If you leave me open, I'm going to make you pay. So Denny deserves his flowers. We could come in and do a segment literally every day after a game and say, oh my God, he's incredible. It almost becomes the repeated segment over and over and over again.
Sure.
The fact that some of the younger guys are now starting to show a sample size of good play where you're like, all right, hey, you gave Shade an extension this offseason. That was risky because he didn't have to do that. And he's coming into his own after a really rough start to his year.
Well, yeah, Gundy had texted me and was like, Shaedon Sharpe right now has 50 steals. What's one reason we hear from people why he can't play more?
Defense.
He's ass. He has 50 steals. Anfernee Simons has only had one season of 50 steals.
I mean, Anfernee Simons...
He's averaging 13-2-2 in Boston.
Yeah, what is happening in Boston tells you all you need to know.
He doesn't play in crunch time. He's not a go-to player. Like, he had a nice little game for himself last night, but it's largely not been...
He's not better than Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah. And so,
and if I would have floated the idea of trading Simons for Peyton Pritchard three years ago, people would have laughed at me.
The long-time argument was Ant plays because he's a good bucket getter, which, okay, in Portland he was. But, like, last night, Shaedon gave you 29 and 7. I thought that was the biggest number. The steals number is great. Like, at least he's being active on defense. Steals isn't always an indicator of good one-on-one defense. It's that you're just being active, right? And you're picking the ball up sometimes. His biggest number for me last night wasn't even shooting. It was 7.
7 assists.
Because he has such an athletic ability to pump and drive that, like, when you see Denny get assists, it's largely from drive kick, right? It's find guys in corners, hit him on the wing. Shaedon has the same ability. I just would like to see him be a little more consistent with it. If he can do that, that's the step. If he can become a 5-6 assists a night guy, like, talk about a huge win for them on top of what he's doing with the shooting splits. So,
and a little bit better defensively than maybe we gave him credit for.
Well, yeah.
Showing a little more effort at least on that end of the
floor. He's at least active. He still has his boneheaded moments where he falls asleep and the guy back cuts and gets an easy layup. That happened early in the game. But I just like that he's active defensively. He seems engaged. He's been given more of a chance here with minutes and whatnot. So,
bigger role now.
Yeah, so Denny's awesome. Donovan's shooting better. Shaedon is shooting a little better. And I like what I'm seeing from them. Tamani's, you know, been
he's
fine
been solid,
too.
Yeah, he's got his groove going a little bit after a slow start. The numbers, by the way, on Sharpe, I'm with you on the 7 assists last night. He also pulled in 5 rebounds, so you just love to see the impact.
Yeah, 29, 5, and 7 is a dream box score.
That's a great night. He's knocking down shots. He's helping the game, playing defense. Loved everything about it. In the month of December, you know, ballpark your games. Well, they probably played 15 games or so in the month of December, maybe a little bit less than that. Shaedon Sharpe shot 44% from 3.
It's great.
In the month.
That's great.
So that's not, you know, I think we got to that point where it's like, all right, hey, he had a good game. All right, it was another good game. But you don't want to go over your skis after 2 good games and say, all right, now all of a sudden he's shooting the ball great because in the month of November, he was 24% from 3.
Yeah,
so that's a massive jump. It's going to even out. He's not going to shoot 44% every month. There's going to be ebb and flow there. But the fact that now there's a bigger sample size there is something to be actually excited about.
Back-to-back Houston Rocket games. Talk about exciting. Houston got a walk-off win last night with KD over Phoenix.
KD hit the game winner.
And we have an ability to just play really hard against really good teams. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do against Houston tomorrow at home. And then I believe it's Thursday, right? They go to Houston, so it's Friday. That's right. They get
I think it's a double up.
The schedule makes it look like it's a home and home.
Let me see here. Hold on.
I apologize. If you're right, then
they are both at home.
Okay.
Wednesday night and Friday night.
Is your ESPN flipped? Because mine got flipped on my phone.
I just pulled up their schedule on my computer. It just says Houston.
Because it says
home.
Houston top, Blazers bottom, and then the next game it says Blazers kind of Houston. Game. So yeah, I'm like, oh, they're going back and forth.
ESPN does that from time
to time.
Good
to know it's a home.
I will not be watching Friday night's game, but I will watch Wednesday night's game.
Why won't you watch Friday?
No, they're both here.
Yeah, they're both in Portland.
We confirm that. Yeah, you're right.
It's confirmed.
Hey, all right.
Oracle's right.
You back off him. God.
Would you shut up? I got a break.
Then the crappy Knicks come in on the weekend.
Oh, we're okay.
They're now crappy.
We're cocky sniffing.
Are we? Should we be excited to be having the Knicks in town for a turnaround? Is that what you're telling me? This is what we need. Hey, you know what happens if you win all 3 of those games? You are 500.
That's right.
How about that? The Warriors are sinking like a stone, the too. The Warriors are just not wanting to
play
basketball.
That's your next game after New York. You're down back in the Bay.
And we own them right now.
We are their daddy.
That's your late NBC 8 p.m. next Tuesday.
I can't believe like 4 days ago you just poo-pooed this team. You're such an idiot.
Who would have possibly done that? Not me. Not Blazer fan dirt. I would never do that.
We have Bill Connelly coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's pivot out of some good stuff with the Blazers into some good stuff in the college football playoff. Oregon, Indiana. Got some more on that. Bryce Betcher audio. We'll get to that coming up next. 105.1 The Fan. The Ducks are in the Peach Bowl, and The Fan is hitting the road with a watch party at the Thirsty Lions Washington Square location. The Dirt Man and Anthony Newman will be there. Get things started with Ducks Game Day presented by Coors Light on location at noon. Join The Fan Friday, January 9th at the Thirsty Lions Washington Square location for the rematch of Oregon and Indiana in the college football playoff semifinals.
What? Like you said, we love you. Might as well go win the whole f-ing thing.
That didn't age well, actually.
The dumper on the bandwagon?
No. Nobody's giving us a chance. We can't go win the whole thing because nobody's picking us.
You just played the cut, though.
I didn't realize it was so long. I thought it was just a let's go win the whole thing part. Yeah,
I
didn't
quite. I want to play the
and
Gus,
they lost.
The Gusgasm every time.
Hey, can you do me a favor, by the way? Can you do me a favor?
Okay.
I really need you to do me a favor. This is the first time that it's come into play.
Okay.
Earlier games, it's like regular season games, you know, we'll see if they win or lose, we'll see how it turns out. Texas Tech, I was feeling pretty good, pretty confident going into that game, so anything he said in to me in regards to that game was not going to impact me in any way, shape, or form. Please don't text me during the game. Please, nothing.
I don't.
You can text me like, oh,
I don't.
So-and-so's playing well, or, that was an interesting play call. That's fine.
Hold on.
Like, emphatics, this is going to be the outcome of the game. For the love of God, please do not text that to me. If my team somehow, some way finds himself with a first half lead, which I don't know if it will happen, but maybe it could. It's a crazy world. You never know what will happen.
Maybe
and they're
up,
21-10.
17-14 yes. At halftime.
And I, just for the love of God, whatever's going through your head about what you think the outcome of the game will be, just keep it to yourself.
So how long?
You can write it down in your note. Maybe you screenshot it and then send it after the game being like, dude, I was going to tell you this at halftime. I'm okay with that after the game. For the love of, just don't, please don't.
Well, so there's please two don't. Things that happen on our group chat during Duck games or big games in general that we're all going to watch.
Yes.
And I want you to tell me, because based on your reaction, I think I know the answer. What do you hate more? Do you hate the Ducks are losing or barely up and it's been weird and wonky and wild and Swag goes, how we doing, Dirt?
He does a welfare check on me.
Or
are
is
you
it,
alive?
Or is it mine? They're up 6-0, and
this
it's
game's over.
A blowout. They're going to dominate this game. It's over.
It would be that.
Okay,
although this weekend, it didn't impact me because I also agreed with you. I thought the game was over. A little bit more at stake this week. A little bit more on the line here.
Because when I agree. Mine's probably egregious. I won't do that
you
to you.
You have there's a little bit of a jinx history with you. There's a little bit of that, Mariners are going to the World Series. Speaking of Cal Raleigh, they're going to go win the whole bleeping thing. This series is over was said on this show, and some fans have never forgiven you for that.
So
you also jinxed my baseball team the last time they were relevant and told me they were going to win another World Series.
You won three,
and then they gave up 5 runs in the ninth inning and blew
it. You won three.
This game's over.
I believe you were in the control room when the Panda hit a leadoff homer against the Tigres, and I said, series is over, and you didn't know me well enough.
We don't remember the ones
it.
That we win. We don't remember those ones. Okay. We just remember the losses. Losses hurt more than wins.
Did I get on the mic at Safe Co and say let's go win the whole effing thing and then not win the whole effing thing? Was that Cal Raleigh? I think that was you.
The little dumper now?
I think you're
Why am I to blame? You're the skinny dumper. Skinny dumper was up there in Seattle flying his banners. We're going to win.
God. It's unbelievable. Why is this my fault?
Hey, look, it's not. I'm just lashing out emotionally because I'm very nervous about Friday. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at my dad. But please don't text that to me, okay? That's all I don't ask
a lot. I'll
tell
you right now.
I won't text you
one time during the game at all.
You can text during the game.
Nope.
Thought on the game's okay.
No, because you don't respond anyway.
That's true. Probably not going to respond.
You throw the phone. I think you toss your phone literally in a different room.
This game, there will be no phone access. Also, to the point of, like, there's times when I might have to leave. Teddy's at home, so that's bedtime. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff. Like, that's, you know, things are happening, so there might be a moment.
4:30,
thank you. Yeah. It won't start at 4:30. We all know it won't start at 4:45. That's when I get God Bless America at 4:30, and that's going to take 10 minutes, and you got to bring, it's just a thing, right? 4:45. So I might have to pause and leave the room. So, the phone will not be in hand for this game.
This is an all-fours game, isn't it?
This is an all-fours game.
Michael Irvin.
We're barking.
You taking a belt off if they win?
Yeah, Teddy's going to be a little scared. He's never seen this version of me.
They're both going to be going around with shirts and no pants.
Can I Winnie the Poohing ourselves around the house. Did you just poop? I don't even care, man. I pooped too. I pooped.
What does your wife think of you during these? Like, she's probably seen some pretty vulnerable moments from you in these big games.
Yeah, she's seen
some
few,
good, some bad.
Some, yeah. I mean, the Rose Bowl last year was over so quickly, there was no moment to even get on all fours. I was down 14-0 before I could even do it.
Right, but like, what were you doing as a
For the Husky game, the last time I was probably barking to that level on all fours was the Husky Pac-12 title game. That was probably the last time. Because the Ohio State was the next big win. And, well, I guess the Penn State game this year. There's a little barking.
The Penn State game.
Penn State game, I was barking.
Felt huge.
A little barking during Iowa. Last drive of Iowa, I barked a little bit.
Really?
I mean, that was season on the line. No. If they're down with a minute 51 to go, you're done.
I disagree with that.
Two lost Ducks, probably not in the playoff this year.
I disagree with that.
Oh, you disagree with that?
I do.
Okay.
I think you guys
They would have had the resume to get in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think next year, it's not even going to be a question because I think the Big Ten, I think the Big Ten team is going to win the title.
Well, and Oregon's schedule is harder next year. You go look at the teams they got to play.
Well, I'm just saying, more difficult. I think the conference winning a third straight national championship will officially cement 10-2 in the Big Ten is getting you in.
If my team wins this game and they go 10-2 next year, they're a lock to get in the college football playoff.
100%.
Because,
yeah, there's no question.
So that's all I ask. I'm not asking for a lot. That's all I ask.
I won't text you once. We'll see if he does over there.
I mean, if they're down 34-0, I'll grab my phone and I'll commiserate with you, but, you know.
Oh, I'm still not going to respond to you. No. I'm going to save it all for Monday just to piss you off.
A lot on the line this weekend, man. Not a lot on the line this weekend.
It's going
to be weird
and
to have the Friday night game and then 2 days to linger on the stew.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about it on Monday. Yeah. It's very, very unique.
Going to be odd if Herbert wins and the Ducks lose.
Just don't let them both lose, you know? Ducks mainly. Herbert would be great. I'd love to see a Herbert win on the road in New England.
You want
to
bark about Herbert. I know
I absolutely want to bark. I want to bark about both on Monday.
I know.
Let me bark.
A good idea from the brand man. Instead of texting you, just do voice notes.
That's a pretty smart idea.
Of things I would text you.
What would have been said? Your thoughts during the game?
Yeah, like live stream of conscience thoughts. Like if they're down 10-0 and I'm like, well, Dirt, I'm sorry, but... Another loss this year in the playoffs short of a natty. That's tough for you.
That's why nobody was giving you a chance
right.
in this game.
And then second quarter. Dude, what a quarter for Dante Moore.
You know, this could happen. I don't know. Don't sleep on Dan Lanning right now. Could be on Mendoza, the comeback.
Super goober. Super good.
How about those Hoggies, dude? Shout out the Hoggies.
Shout out the Hoggies. So we may have to.
Shout out the Hoggies.
I like that idea because I really don't want to annoy you.
Well, the other thing that will help me too, now I will be insufferable probably if they win. So just a forewarning, but people expect that at this point. The other thing will help if they do lose, having a 48-hour window to let it settle on me, let it marinate, will make Monday's show slightly easier. It's different when you lose and you got to come
until
and then,
Husky and Beaver fan text in and then you're.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'll snap at some
pissed.
Point. I'll snap. It'll happen on Monday. But there's something different. There's a different level of pain of watching the game and then come. Like, Natty Night is a Monday night. So if they are to beat Indiana somehow and you go to the national championship, we have a show that next morning.
Yeah, get this. We originally, our company observes MLK Day.
Yes, they do.
And we were originally going to have it off, and I asked Swag, because I saw the schedule, and I was like, January 19th?
Huh? There's something big going on that day.
Swag, is that a day off? And he goes, yeah. And I go, that's the day of the natty. If the Ducks win, we're not off.
It's the national championship.
And he goes, oh, I gotta tell Dusty.
We gotta look at the calendars here, man. That ain't happening.
And so Brandman, I think Brandman is on his way. He texted us, but I think he's on his way over to my Atlanta right now.
Yeah,
so,
no, the calendar's we're different this year because the last couple years...
It's different every year. I've been talking about this for 12 years. Easter is in two different months.
No, 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 no.
Sometimes
I
it's
that.
March, sometimes it's April.
My but birthday is on the 20th. I'm very aware of MLK Day bouncing
the
around.
The NFL calendar is different because in the previous few years, that wild card extra game on Monday has fallen on MLK Day.
Mm.
And that's why we've had it off because we just wait for it all to end.
When's he risen? Huh. It's either March or April, and I never know when he's risen.
Somebody just let me know.
Pick a day.
Let me know when it happened.
What was the day he rose? When did he move the stone?
It's March. No, April.
No, April.
April.
Yeah,
that could have been March.
My buddy John said did March.
You never know, dude.
Well, Bob said April. Like, okay.
As long as he's risen, I don't care.
As long as he's risen. So, we'll get to that. That's obviously just around the corner. Oregon, Indiana. We won't have Bill Conley, by the way. I undersold telling you what happened.
We're going to hot route. Hot route to tomorrow.
Well, we have to hot route to tomorrow. I misread the text like a normal, you know, moron. And he said, I'm available up until 7:30 Pacific. And I just read that as like, I'm available at 7:30.
We'll call you at 7:30. It'll work great.
But he also acknowledged, like, he saw my text and didn't respond. And he's like, I meant to say, like, I think you read this wrong. So he'll be on tomorrow for sure at 7:30 tomorrow.
Now, the big question about Connolly is, has he sent you a sandwich yet? You and Bill Connolly on these very airwaves made a sandwich bet over the Ohio State University.
You know what's funny is I did text him to get him on the program. And after he said what his schedule was for the week, I did respond and said, Ohio State frauds, winky emoji. And I don't know if he remembers, because he gave me an interesting gif back of a little girl just staring and smiling at me. Like, what would you think? I know this is not good for radio. What would
you think? Oh, the evil girl look?
Is that what that means?
I think that's kind of like a, you know, maybe he's saying that's what you're being, a little nefarious, a little evil there, reminded me of a bad take.
Okay, well, I didn't know if he remembered our bet there. So we can remind him on that.
We'll have to ask him tomorrow. He owes you a sandwich.
Oregon, Indiana, we obviously know this is a rematch. They played earlier this season, and Indiana came into Autzen Stadium, snapped the winning streak, and won the game. And a lot of people were asking a lot of questions. The offense, man, that struggled for them. The defense was fine. They gave up a couple scores that you're like, you don't want them to break there. But Indiana comes in and wins a tight contest. They end up getting the biggest win in the Cignetti era.
Yeah, but you could argue at the point the biggest win in Indiana football history. Because there was a number floating around, I think, when they played that game of like record on the road against top 10 teams or something. And they hadn't won one of those in a long time.
100%. Up until that specific game, nobody took Indiana as a legitimate title contender. They thought, good program, really good coach, but come on. They win the game. Bryce Betcher in the Peach Bowl press conference, I thought, acknowledged something very honest, very real, and very interesting as they get ready to take Indiana on. They beat Penn State earlier before the Indiana game.
They remember they played Penn State, and then they had a bye, and then Indiana came to town. It was the next game that they played.
And obviously, you saw the fallout of the Penn State game for the Penn State angle and what that meant. I think on the other side, you saw Dan Lanning pop 19 zins and get in the postgame and make you go, what did he just take? Because he knew how big that was for his program. Bryce Betcher on the loss to Indiana and what it meant for them as a team.
Yeah, I'm a believer everything happens for a reason. I think we needed that to kind of wake us up. Obviously, we came off a big Penn State win and kind of thought we were, you know, pretty cool going into that week and pretty confident and got a little lackadaisical with our prep, I think. So it was a good wake-up call. And, you know, I think the rest of the season leading up to this point is a pretty good testament to the way we responded to that loss.
Can I tell you something that made me feel good about that answer from Bryce Betcher? One, I always appreciate athletes being honest. Even if you don't agree with an opinion, I'd rather an athlete be honest and tell me how they feel or think rather than like just be generic and boring. When we did that game preview all week, that was a big game on TV, but largely I felt like as a show, we really underplayed caring about that game.
It was a top 10 matchup in Autzen Stadium.
And we talked about, oh, spread 7.5. Who we pick? Oregon. Nice little story. They can't play with the big boys. Yeah. And then they won. And I remember sitting on my couch watching Cincinnati postgame going, we did a piss poor job of previewing that game with listeners this week, and I felt terrible about it. That makes me feel better because he himself was like, yeah, we saw Indiana and thought, nah, they're Indiana. And that made me feel good hearing him admit that.
It's human nature, man. I love the honesty. It's not the only reason they didn't win the game. Part of it is that Indiana might be the best team in the country, and we just didn't quite know that at the time. And we have since gone on consecutive weeks to learn that. But, I mean, you go back to that moment in time in the season, like, it's easy to look back and laugh at Penn State because of where their season went, but remember the stakes that were on that game going into it and how much was on the line and everything that was built into their first real big-time, high-profile whiteout game, top five Oregon, top five Penn State. Like, that was one of the biggest games at the start of the college football season that every fan, whether you were an Oregon fan or a Penn State fan, circled on, ooh, and it's the same night of Georgia-Bama. That was a huge night of college football. And so you got a really young team that went on the road and found a way to win that game. And I'm sure that a lot of that went to their heads of like, all right, we can do this, baby. We're back. Doesn't matter who we lost to the NFL. And they got high on their own supply. And again, a big part of the reason they lost the game is that Indiana is just a dominant team that doesn't do a lot to hurt themselves. But I appreciated the honesty because I think a lot of people inside that locker room and outside that locker room had the same thought about Indiana going into that game. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, now we've seen it. Now you believe it. And I don't think that will be the case at all this weekend. I know groundbreaking news in the semifinal, Oregon won't overlook somebody, but they're certainly going to have their full attention.
Where are you at right now? Because the Hoggies, as we like to shout out the Hoggies.
Shout out the Hoggies!
The offensive lineman, the center from Notre Dame, the transfer, he won the MVP of the Rose Bowl.
Yes, he did. They tried to give it to everybody on the offensive line, but then they told Kirk Herbstreit, you can't do that.
Signetti basically was like, he's the leader of the group. I have no problem with it. I think the whole line group is pretty happy about him winning it in general. How often is the MVP an offensive lineman, right? But
yeah.
I'm kind of curious where you're at today. Oregon's ability against that offensive line to put pressure, because
Huge.
It's so simplistic, but that's kind of what football is, right? If you don't get pressure on him, he's going to torch you.
Yep.
He's that good. He's that proven. He's the Heisman winner for a reason. Bama got it in the one possession early, and then it fizzled, and he tore them up. And so I'm just curious how confident or where you're at on their ability, Taj Lupoi, and Dan Lanning and everybody involved there to get that pressure on Fernando Mendoza.
Taj Lupoi.
Well, look, I'm certainly feeling better after watching what happened against Texas Tech last week. Again, much different challenge, but Oregon's defensive line literally dominated that game. They were the best unit on the field for the entirety of it. Texas Tech couldn't run the ball, and they got pressure essentially every time that they threw it. I actually felt like, in going back and watching that game, and then going, I actually went back yesterday and rewatched the Rose Bowl again, just to, you know, refresh and all that, going into the game on Friday. Teams have had the ability to get pressure on Indiana. I think the most underrated aspect of Fernando Mendoza this year has been his mobility and the ability to go pick up first downs with his legs in certain moments. And going back and rewatching the Oregon-Indiana game the first time around, Oregon forced them into a lot of third and medium-ish to third and longish situations. You know what beat them multiple times? Quarterback draws. Just no rhyme or reason, couldn't quite figure it out.
That was the one thing we nailed on that preview, like, he might use his legs a little more than
you
think.
Go back and watch the highlights of the Alabama game, and there were early scrambles, picking up a first down, settle the offense down, or scramble out of the pocket, find the guy on the roll, there you go. There's Becker along the sideline, get the toe in, make the catch. Like, he is incredibly mobile, and so that is the toughest challenge, I think, to stopping Indiana, that he's not a mobile enough guy where you're going to just have a key spy on him the entire game. It's not Damon Williams that you're playing. And they're too good and too balanced offensively where you can't take one of the 12 out of your defensive formation. And so it really comes down to their defensive line. One, getting the pressure, so you got to create it in the first place to make him uncomfortable. And then making sure you're incredibly disciplined with your rush lanes and you're not allowing him these little gaps to go pick up his legs. He runs like a gazelle. He's like 6'5". His legs are super long. It's two strides and he picks up a first down. That, to me, limiting the ability of Mendoza using his legs is one of the biggest keys that Oregon has going into this game.
Is that the matchup ultimately?
Dante Moore has to, you have to protect Dante Moore and he has to play at a high level. But two, you got to find a way to rattle him. Like, if you go back and look at, this is the interesting thing about that game for me.
The Indiana-Oregon game, first time around.
All right. The yard per carries for running backs in that game. Because you look at the rush numbers, everybody says Indiana dominated you on the defensive line. Hemby, their top back, averaged 3.7 yards per carry. Your top back, Jordan Davidson, averaged 7.4 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Next back was Kalen Black. He averaged 4.4. Your next back was Noah Whittington, averaged 5.4. Jaden Lamar also had 3 carries for 17 yards. You ran the ball effectively with your running backs, and you didn't do a terrible job of slowing them down. What killed you was the moments Mendoza pulled it and picked up a first down.
Timely runs.
And then the overall sack yardage that put you in situations where you then couldn't run the football because you were having a lot of negative plays on first down.
I got one more little question. We have a lot more to get into here on the program. Dirt and Sprague, we roll on. 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Talking some Oregon in Indiana here. The game is on Friday. Dirt and Newman will be out. I don't know why I called him Newman.
Dirt and Newman. Hello, how about this Newman. Humble brag from Newman? The other day we were doing the show on New Year's Eve, and we were talking about memories in college football and when we fell in love with the sport. And I told the story, one of my first favorite players was Charles Woodson at Michigan. And like, if you were of our age, how did you not love Charles Woodson? Winning the Heisman, all that was so cool. And I didn't have a strong in-state rooting interest. And I casually dropped that story of falling in love with the sport largely because watching that and that Rose Bowl and all that went into that. And he was like, oh, I'll let you know. He's coming into town to talk to Wes Lynn. I have him flying in. I'm like, oh, that's right. You're Anthony Newman.
Can we get him on the show?
I was like, yeah. I said, Anthony,
can I get an autograph? I will buy Charles.
I literally said that. They must have crossed over at the very end of his career when they got Woodson.
What year did he retire? Because Woodson was in the 98 draft.
I think that was right around the time he played.
Hold on, I mean, he was a Raider a long time, so Anthony probably got to meet him multiple times.
Yeah, and they do a big, for all the things that the Raiders do bad, I know they do a big alumni weekend every year.
They're a big former player thing. And Charles is, what, a nice guy?
His last year was 1999 in Oakland was his last year, Anthony's.
Yeah, so he got to kind of mentor him a little bit.
I just started laughing. I was like, yeah, sometimes I forget you're Anthony Newman, and that's a pretty cool world to live in. He's like, yeah, I'll let you know when he's coming into town. I'm flying him in to talk to my Westland football team.
Will buy a Woodson jersey, I will drive it to him if he can, and he just gets it signed.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What Woodson jersey do you buy?
Michigan.
You go Michigan?
Yeah. Yeah, because
I'm not a Packer guy or a Raider guy.
I will not have a Packer jersey on.
That Michigan uni is, I mean, it's iconic. I had one when I was a kid. So now I got to go start beating my brother's door down because I think he took all of my jerseys to give to his kids and then he's going to pass it back to me. All my childhood jerseys. I swear there is a Charles Woodson Michigan jersey in there.
I wore two because of him.
Yeah. I mean, that's you were one of the first people I thought of with that. I'm like, we got to figure out some way to make this happen.
Give me something, man.
Give me anything, Anthony.
Anything.
Come on, dude. Come on.
Let me ask you this. In looking back, right, we talked about Mendoza's ability with his legs. Is the defensive line or the front seven going to get that pressure on him and make life miserable? I think it's important to note what Indiana's rush totals really were on a per-carry basis. They ended up with 111 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was not so much the impact on an every-down run. It was more just like timely runs by their guys. It'd be like a third and three, pick it up, right? Mm-hmm. Like extend and move the chains. You go back and look at some of this. I think this is an interesting part, and we're already kind of against it. So think about this angle. Oregon beating Indiana and how big it would be for them to get to the national championship and what that's going to take, right? It's not just a defensive side. We know it's a lot of offense, and you highlighted Dante Moore. We talked about yesterday, Malik Benson had one catch for 44 yards and a touchdown.
Yep.
Jamari Johnson, one catch, 3 yards.
Let me also remind you of Jamari Johnson had a massive drop in that game that had led them to having to kick a field goal in the red zone. He was wide open in the flat and he dropped it and they had to settle for the field goal.
McClellan, one catch.
Yep.
Bryant and Moore were your leading pass catchers along with Davison out of the backfield.
Remember, they also had zero targets for Sadiq in the first half of the game and they came out first play of the second half and gave it to him.
Well, he had two catches for 20 yards. So like Indiana did a pretty good job. You are with less weapons now, and I have no indicator to simply think that Evan Stewart's going to play
or
be an impact player if he does. DeCorian, I thought, he played, but I still think there's a rust factor there, and it's hard to get in the flow. Gary Bryant's not doing anything. I'm just curious where you're at with their weapons. Do they have the requisite weapons right now against what I think is a pretty damn good Indiana defense because they had more available when they played them last time? Do they have enough weapons for this one?
I can also flip this on its head because I see the point at wide receiver.
Sure.
I also feel like at running back, they have a better rotation now than they've had all year. And there's a rumor floating around that Davison got hurt in the first quarter of the Texas Tech game. And there's people with videos of him running around celebrating after the game. So Duck fans just in this weird spot with injuries on social media and message boards. And I'm just, my advice to every Duck fan would just stay away from it. The game's on Friday. Like, we'll figure it out. When the game starts, I don't think that he's hurt. But I have no inside knowledge on that. But I also go back and look at the carries in that game. You know who got a carry in that game on a key third down? Jay Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Do non-Duck fans even know who Jay Harris is? You know who was still carrying the rock at a
ESPN Sports Center anchor?
Not that Jay Harris. The Jay Harris is now in the transfer portal.
That's one carry for 1 yard, by the way.
But it was a third and two, and they got stuffed. That was what led to their fourth down stop on the opening drive. He got the carry on the third down on the opening drive.
That's
so
a bad play call.
They didn't really know how to use D'Air Hill in that moment. D'Air Hill only had 3 touches the entire game, if I'm not mistaken, looking back at the game. So that's the other part of it. I feel like they have a better rotation at running back now, assuming that Davison is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest thing about their weapons is I don't think they're utilizing them the way that they should. I think the strength of your weapons is your tight ends.
It's your tight ends.
And in the opening drive of the Texas Tech game, it was Jamari Johnson, Sadiq, and they're making play, and then they just kind of disappeared.
They went away from him.
Sadiq had a great catch on an early fourth down conversion that we overlooked because then they didn't get the next one. It's like, why are you going for it on fourth? Well, nobody said that when they got the first one and he completed the pass. Those guys are special. You have the best tight end unit in America, and they need to be the focal point of your offense.
And that's kind of my whole point of bringing this up. It's not that you are worried about the lack of weapons, Dirt. It is, do you have enough of them, and is the play caller going to utilize them as much as maybe he should.
The biggest critique in game one was that they got away from running the football, even though they were doing it effectively, and Kenyon Sadiq, the best player on the field, didn't have a single target the entire first
half. If a running back is averaging 7.4...
Run the football.
He should not finish with 8 carries.
Run the ball.
Run the ball. Yeah,
run the ball.
Brent Keyes. We'll have more on this Oregon-Indiana game as well. It is a Millsack Tuesday. So we'll get to the mail sack coming up in the final hour, 9:15. You get the mail sack questions in. It's basically ask us anything. We'll talk about literally anything you send in at 503-864-6326. Loaded, third hour of the program, and it's next on 105.1 The Fan.